How do you teach today's lesson? How many times or how many versions can we say there is about the birth of Christ?
Every year it's new.
Mm-hmm. It's not the same. But our, kind of our lesson is, what is the real, not meaning of Christmas, but what is the real message of Christmas? It is about Jesus' birth. But if you think about the whole realm of things, the story, how it came to place, would it be hard, or is it hard sometimes to, I won't say accept, but understand how it was planned and how it came to truth, to meaning? But think about all the little bitty pieces and everybody that's involved. It's not just God choosing to send his son. He chose Mary. He chose Joseph. And if he stopped there, why did he choose them? What was their significance? But then if you think about, he used shepherds. He used wise men. He used, in today's story we'll see, he used a magi, or I won't call him a magician, but someone who prophesied and studied the stars and things. He used a leader of a country to play a role in all of this. But if we just read some of the scripture, it starts in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Well, in reading this and thinking about it, I go back to our choir musical and the song that Chris sang about Joseph. And if I put myself in that place, I guess I would be a little bit like Joseph if I found that I was fond of Mary. And I read this, I've been reading this little book, The Day Christ Was Born. My mother-in-law let me borrow it, but there's some interesting points in there. If you go back and think, how did Mary and Joseph come together? Well, Joseph being a carpenter, Mary just a young girl. This writer, and I take it not literally, but thinking about it, in those days, if someone wanted this, say a young man was infatuated by this young lady and he wanted to marry her, his family had to go to her family with an offering or with gifts to get the approval so that they could say, okay, at some point in time, we give you our approval to become man and wife. Now, the writer of this book points out, and you could say that some skeptics might say, that even in those times, while, let's say, if you want to call it an engagement, the couple is able to, if you want to say, unionize together or come together and have relations, that's okay. Well, some skeptics might say, well, that's how Mary got pregnant. But if you read the scripture, they were approached by angels. They were approached by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Joseph knew that Mary was going to have a child. It bothered him. It says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But then an angel appeared to him, just to reassure Joseph that what Mary had was given to her by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we know. And that's the, not the story, but that's how Jesus' birth came about. But if you go from that point to the time Jesus was actually born, what did Mary and Joseph do? I mean, we read and we know
they traveled.
But it was also reassured that, and I may have my genealogy wrong, but it was Margaret who was Mary's, was it her aunt? Or am I wrong there? Who was older in life. Was it Margaret or have I got
Martha?
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, she had never had a child.
It was Elizabeth, wasn't it?
Or Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth and Zachariah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I thought it was interesting there that, you know, Elizabeth had never born a child, older in age, but yet and still she conceived. And then Mary went to visit her. And the story is, when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the baby inside her stirred. And Elizabeth knew at that point of the miracle. But the birth of Christ, we know the reason, we know the purpose. But are we still looking today for something to make us truly understand what's happening?
I don't think so, because, and I didn't mind, I just believe that the birth of Jesus was carried out in the way that it was.
Mm-hmm.
For the believers, see, we don't see faith and we don't see, but they give us something to believe. What am I trying to say, Oliver?
Well, it was probably like, I mean, it's probably like a lot of people and maybe even some Christians. How did this really happen?
Yeah.
Why? And are there skeptics that don't believe it?
Well, I think we believe it because most of us
got here
because we were taught it from childhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why
true believers believe.
True believers believe, yeah.
But the world is full of skeptics.
Yeah.
Some even who maybe think they're Christians because they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the Bible is God's word, word for word, as He told it.
Yeah, they pick and choose what they want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
To help you believe is what I'm trying to say. To help you believe.
But I guess what I meant to ask is, do we, as adults or even believers, do we attempt to try to find a better way of life, even though we've got the true meaning of life right here? Do we try to look beyond God's word and God's teachings to us? I mean, today's story, you know, are we guilty of accepting it, but then trying to start picking it apart and, this really couldn't happen. This really didn't happen. But this, the writer of this book, and I thought, and we'll get into more of this, but at the time that Jesus was going to be born, what do we really know about it? What happened? They did travel. Mary rode on a donkey. But now, whether this is just this person's writing or he has actually visited the land and has seen the areas that Mary and Joseph had to go through, but he brought out some points. Think about Mary, and you ladies know this more than us men do, ready to deliver a child, but having to ride on a donkey. Was she comfortable?
No.
Probably not.
I'm sure she wasn't. Because I rode on a bumpy truck from Wyoming to Chicago, and I wasn't comfortable at 7 months.
And then if you look into the man's part, Joseph's part, he had to walk the whole way. Today, you know, a child gets ready to be born, you jump in the car and you drive to the hospital, and it was different.
It was spoiled.
But when we go into another part of the story, the Magi, you know, why bring a Magi into the story? But chapter 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, it says, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Like, I guess Herod knew nothing of this. You know, if he was king, if he was the ruler, wouldn't you think that news would have come to him that this has taken place? But he wasn't. He didn't know. And the scriptures tells us that he was disturbed, and that all of Jerusalem was disturbed with him. Why do we know that King Herod was disturbed? I mean, I don't stop and think about that, but the point is, if he had no knowledge of the birth of Christ, why would he be disturbed? But I guess he would be disturbed when they asked the question, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Well, I'm the leader. What are you talking about? What's going on? But why are the significance of King Herod, do we still have that, let's say, in our modern day world, do we still have people who feel that they're of more importance than our Savior?
Yeah. We have a leader right now.
Yep. But you know, thinking about that is, to me, here we see once again how, and we should always recognize that there are always going to be skeptics in the world about the Word of God, no matter whether it was right at the birth of Jesus or even in today's world. There are going to be skeptics. But going forward from that is thinking about what took place after Jesus' birth, or at the time of his birth. Do you think, and I got this reading this little book, is in Mary and Joseph's traveling, did they go with just the destination point in mind? We know we've got to go to this city and we've got to be there. Did they have a set appointed time to get there? Or were they just traveling at their own leisure? But this writer points out, what do you think Mary and Joseph experienced when they came out, say, on the outskirts of town and saw the city there where Jesus was going to be born? Do you think they stopped in amazement and took that in, thinking, we know what's fixing to happen, but these people don't? But then, you know, it all comes in. Why, when you're going to present God's Son to the world, why, when you're going to bring Him to life, why was there not a special place for Him to go? Why did they have to go to a lowly inn where cattle stayed? Why was where He was born, why wasn't it prepared when they got there? Why did they have to go in and possibly clean out a stall or clean out litter and make preparations for His birth? You know, I don't think people stop and think about that. Do we not, from the birth of Him like that, but do we tend to sometimes place too much emphasis on the royalty part of God's creation, more so than just looking at this and accepting it as a simplistic way of life? That's the way Jesus was brought into this world. Very simple. You know, there was no marching band. There was no announcement from the government. He came into the world in a quiet, peaceful way.
That's showing us that material things are
not right. We can't take it with us, as the old saying goes.
The lowly manger was the birth of a man who has sparked Christianity, and it has stayed in the forefront for how many thousands of years?
Mm-hmm. For a long time.
Also, it's all about faith.
Yeah.
It's all about faith. If He had come the way they were expecting Him to come, it wouldn't have taken faith.
No.
To believe.
If it had been announced publicly, then Herod would have stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he attempted to stop it after his birth.
It happened the way that his father intended for it to be.
Right. But, I mean, I guess I'm rambling or bringing out different things, but after the birth, we know what happened. You know, Herod asked the Magi, but he sends them out. Go find this birthplace. Go find this place. And when you find it, come back to me and let me know, because I want to go worship him. Is that true? No. He had a motive behind his question. He had a motive behind talking to them. Herod knew that maybe he was going to be threatened in his leadership and his rulings, or maybe he thought things are going to change now, and all my riches and royalties are going to be taken away from me. I'm the king. No one else is going to stop me. But thinking about the wise men and the shepherds, especially when they came and brought their gifts, did they bring just something simple? Something maybe that they had made? No, they brought the best they had. Do we in turn today, do we bring our best to Christ all the time? Or do we tend to hold back a little bit sometimes?
Hold back.
Yeah. It's mine. It's like Ms. Zeta said, we sometimes in life, I think, things get in our way. Material things. Thinking we've got to have certain things. But in the story, I mean, we can see, we understand God's Son and His life on earth, the birth of Him, and what He tried to preach and teach to the people. We get guilty, and I know I do too. It's like that. And I think instead of wanting to share the story, share our love for Christ, share what He's given to us, we sometimes want to hold it in. We don't want to, let's say, go all the way and respond as God would have us respond. But another interesting point is when Herod made the decree that he wanted all male childs under a certain age killed, Joseph, an angel, appeared to him in a dream and told him of this. How do you think Joseph and Mary felt, or Mary felt, when Joseph told her, we've got to leave, we've got to go? Here we are with a newborn child. You need to rest. The baby needs to rest. But we've got to leave in order to protect him. Once again, was that a journey that was very simply made? No, it's not that they had to leave in the night, but pretty much they did. They had to pack up and go.
And since it was her child, she was ready to go. Mother. I would think she would be.
Yes. But this writer, and I want to just read this. It says that Joseph was proud of his little family, and he had hoped, to start his journey to Nazareth, but he didn't tell anyone they were leaving. Or he didn't tell anybody which direction I'm going either. Now, you could say he didn't do that because, there again, he's protecting his child. If he tells somebody in the town of Bethlehem, I'm leaving, then they may in turn tell someone else, and it gets back to Herod. But it talks about And this may not be true, but if you think about it, it says Mary wrapped her baby carefully against the chill air, set her cloak around her slender body, and took a last look at the little stable and the animals who had remained so strangely quiet for so many days. It says Joseph, he had knocked down the stall boards which they had made in forming a little room, but when the dark of night set, he mounted Mary and the young child, and then they left on the road to Egypt. I think out loud sometimes, but there again, if you were a skeptic, why would he have to leave? Why couldn't they just hide him somewhere?
No. Because he was told in a dream to leave.
Right. And he was obedient.
Well, it also said that the angel told them to do it so that what Isaiah said would be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I call my son.
Mm-hmm. See, another prophecy is fulfilled there, because if you go back in Hosea, I think it's chapter 11, verse 1. It says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So another prophecy has taken place. But did it cost Joseph anything to get Jesus out of harm's way? Mm-hmm. Because he was a carpenter. And you take that now he's taken time to leave his home and his work, the birth of the child, and now they've got to leave again and go somewhere else. So, yes, it cost Joseph. But we understand now that. And Joseph probably knew at that point the total significance of what's going on, and had no objection and had no fear of doing what he had been instructed to do. Do we rely upon God's teachings like that in our lives when trouble comes? First instinct is I would be guilty if I went to work when I go back to work Wednesday and they call me in and said, we don't need you anymore. And if I were to make a phone call to my wife and say, I don't have a job, would we be happy as larks? No. There'd be a little fear inside. Be a little anxiety. But and upset, yes, might want to say something against someone, but I would trust in my faith to be strong enough to know it's in God's plans, it's in his hands. You know, I'm not going to sit back and expect him to do it all. I know that I've got to participate like Joseph did. But out of the story of Christmas and out of the story of Jesus' birth, what is the most significant or most compelling piece of evidence about the story that you take to heart?
That we have a Savior.
Mm-hmm. We have a Savior. I mean,
Joseph obeyed. If he had not obeyed, what would have happened?
Yeah, I thought about that. If he had been stubborn enough, and the angel went, even if the angel, after she had appeared and then the angel spoke to him and told him not to be afraid, what if he still doubted And what if he went against the message?
Yeah, what if he divorced her?
How would things have progressed from there?
And not only that, think of the things that they endured. I mean, the talking went on. Obviously, tongues are gone wag. And you know that they were people who didn't believe that the child was a virgin, you know, and so tongues are going to wag, and you know, people are going to talk and say bad things, and you know these things. You know, I'm sure Mary and Joseph both were aware that things were being said that were not true about them, and but yet they obeyed. They just simply, in their hearts, trusted God and nobody else.
That was a big miracle when that started here, didn't it? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know those tongues wagged because when Jesus went back to Nazareth, they didn't accept him.
Right. Well, my cousin actually did a devotion on that this week, and he referenced a verse. I didn't bring my Bible today. I had so much stuff I was trying to get together. I went out without my Bible. But I've got it in there. But he referenced a verse in John where someone was speaking to Jesus and said, "We are not born of fornication." Speaking of Jesus, you know, you were born of fornication. You were born out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, that was also speaking of Mary. You know, that was demeaning not only to Jesus but to Mary and to Joseph. But yet Mary and Joseph were obedient to God, knowing what people would think of them. But yet they simply obeyed. And God, and because of their obedience, they experienced something that no one else. Mary kissed the face of God. She held him in her arms.
Yeah, I think, like I say, we can tell different versions of the story. We can, but if we look at all the points, it just makes, to me, it should make us stop and want to know more. It wasn't just the birth of a child. There were other significant points all along the way that led to this. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is, how do we make a skeptical world understand the true meaning? I know we get caught up at Christmas, which it's good to give gifts and things like that, but do we place too much significance upon that part than actually teaching what's going on? Because I read a little, this doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, and I'll close with this. It's where Connor goes to school, his kindergarten teacher, which had last year, she put a little blurb on Facebook the other day that they were reading a story of Christmas or talking about Christmas in the classroom, and said one little child raised his hand and told her, he said, "That's not the meaning of Christmas." And she said, "Well, what is the meaning of Christmas?" He said, "It's about the birth of Jesus." And she said, she stopped right there. And she said, "I know I'll probably get in trouble for doing this," but she then took the scripture and read them the story in the classroom, and they talked about it. So, I don't care how young they are, they understand sometimes maybe more than we do as adults at times. But
thought of the good lesson. It's something for us all to think about and to talk about and to tell others.
Yes. I think so.
Anybody else have anything to say? I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I did not send Christmas cards. I don't to people I think I'm going to see. So I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Hope all your wishes come true. Most of all, I'd like to say I hope everybody has a healthy
Yes, ma'am.
My mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver.